The book of Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. We're going to begin in the third verse, and then we're going to skip to the 21st verse in just shortly. Philippians, chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Now verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take your word, that you would touch and shape our hearts, Father, for what is ahead of us. We thank you, Father, for this time, and we thank you for Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in a brand new year, 2017. I don't know what you have planned. You don't know what's going to take place. The truth is, we don't know what's out there. Oh, but we can know what's in here. And what's in here can make a big difference on how you face the coming year. I believe God wants you to have joy. I believe God wants you to have joy deep down that flows through you, that exudes from you, that touches the lives of others. I believe God wants you to have joy in 2017. I believe God wants you to have joy all through this new year that lays before us. If you want to know how to have joy, a good place to look is into the book of Philippians. It is a joy book. 18 times Paul mentions joy. While he speaks of joy, he professes to have joy, but he never defines joy. What he does is exemplify a life that is full of joy. He says in chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul developed an attitude of joy no matter what. You want to have joy in the coming year? That's the attitude. Joy no matter what. Well, you know, bad things might happen. Joy no matter what. Well, we got a new president stepping in. Joy no matter what. There may be inflation. There may be jobs lost. There may be struggles. There may be individuals that we love that pass away. There are going to be changes in life. May I tell you, God says joy no matter what. Joy for your life today and tomorrow and all through a coming year and beyond. Now, Paul didn't have it easy. He talked of joy when he had difficulties. And there are plenty of things that went on in his life that would have made it difficult to have joy. Paul was seeking to serve the Lord. In this first chapter, he makes reference to Jesus 18 times. Six times he speaks of the gospel. Paul is able to have joy no matter what, joy no matter the circumstances, because he chose not to make problems the focus of his life. Now, let me tell you, 2017 is going to have difficulty. You heard it here first. There are going to be problems down the road. If you focus on the problem, if you make the problem your life, you're going to go through this year miserable. You have a choice to make. Do you know woe is me, people? You know, the people that are always sad sack, always down in the mouth. I call them Eeyore folks. Oh, bother. You know, it's just all so bad. Well, there are those people on the planet. And what I would encourage you is not to be one. There are plenty of bad things you could focus on, but why? If you focus on the woes, you are going to be a miserable person. And I'll tell you something else. You're going to make other people miserable. Don't let the woe proclaimers pull you down. We need to be people that focus on a God that's greater than the woes. Why in the world would you make misery your choice for life? Now, I know people. They're only happy when they're miserable, and they want you to be miserable right along with them. Why would you be that way? They make every bad situation about them. Somebody has a problem in Iran. Oh my goodness, my world is falling apart. Listen, you can choose God's way. You can choose God's strength. You can choose God's hope. You can choose God's deliverance. You can choose God's joy. You can go through this new year with an excitement about Jesus. Now, Paul had real problems, but he just didn't magnify the problems. Instead, he magnified his Savior and the gospel. He made a choice to focus on what Jesus did for him on Calvary's cross, to focus on the fact that he had been forgiven, to focus on the fact that he had a purpose in life that was higher than whatever this world would bring. For the person focused on Jesus, circumstances are just opportunities to let Jesus shine. Now, is this year going to be different than other years? Sure. It'll be different for many of us. We have loved ones who aren't here with us anymore. We have people that we dearly love that went home to be with the Lord in this past year, and because of that, our lives are going to be different. But God can instill joy even in the difference. Circumstances become opportunities to exalt Jesus, and whenever Jesus is exalted, there can be joy. You can have joy even if the sky is falling, because our God is the one that put the sky in place, and he can put it back. Joy comes, according to this scripture, by fellowship. In 1:5 he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." You don't have to be around a Baptist church very long before you hear the word fellowship. Now to us, fellowship and food kind of go together. And so we brighten up when we think of fellowship. Dr. Paige Patterson, the president of Southwestern Theological Seminary, used to talk about his speaking engagements, and he'd speak at all these churches. And he said, "I'd go to the church and I'd speak, and when I'd get through preaching, they would always say, 'Well, Brother Patterson, will you stay for dinner and or lunch?' And I would. And so we would be there. We'd have a great time talking, fellowshipping, and eating. And then we would finish the entree, and they would say, 'Save the fork.'" And he didn't really understand that, but he heard it and he obeyed it. And they'd have a dessert, and then he'd go home. This went on for several years, and finally Mrs. Patterson said, "Paige, I got to talk to you." He said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "You got to stop bringing home these forks." Fellowship is really more than food. Fellowship is a relationship. The word koinonia means fellowship. It means to have in common, to be on common ground. Now, we have a lot of things in common. If you listen to group ladies talk very long, some of them will talk about shoes. I don't know, they can make a whole day talking about shoes. They like to go on trips that are centered around shoes. Well, you know, if that's you, then that's your fellowship in shoes. Guys tend to talk about sports. And you can hear them talk about sports, all kinds of sports. If you talk to guys that are for Alabama, they may talk about the national championship game. If you talk to people about Clemson, they may talk about that game too. Might talk about different kinds of that game. But anyway, there's that common ground. In Jesus, may I tell you, we have common ground. If you want to have common ground, you can have it. If you want to have a relationship with others, you can have it, and you can have it in Jesus. All born-again people have a lot in common. We are in the same family. We are all sinners forgiven by an almighty God who is willing to die on a cruel cross for our salvation. We have that bond together, a common bond of reaching to God in prayer, a common bond of having God work in our lives. And guess what? In Jesus, we're all going to the same heavenly home. What a blessing to share that fellowship. When we have a loved one pass away, and they pass away in the Lord, and we go to that time to celebrate their life, we look at it differently than the rest of the world, because we know there's a chance to see them again on the other side. Does it still hurt? You better believe it still hurts. We don't like being separated from people we love. Oh, but there is a comfort that God gives that the world just doesn't have. Paul was speaking of a special relationship with these people at Philippi. He had a special relationship with this church, and it makes me think of our church, Northside Baptist Church. I am thankful for this church. I am thankful for what God has given us here. I'm thankful for the relationships we share. At Northside Baptist Church, you will find love, you will find forgiveness, you will find care. Are there times we might drop the ball on things? Absolutely. We're just folks. But at our heart, there is forgiveness, there is love, and there is care. You may mess up. We all have. And what a great thing to know that you got a church family that's not going to turn you away because you messed up, but it's going to try to reach out and pick you up and try to be a blessing to you and try to get you back on your feet and try to move you forward. That's what church should do. And I thank God that this is that kind of place, and we need more people to come and be part of our family, and we need to pull them in. Paul says, I thank God on every remembrance of you. Well, I thank God when I think about the great people God has put in our church and the great people God has brought through our lives in this church. We've been blessed. We've been blessed by one another. We've been blessed by great believers that have touched us and now have moved on up to heaven. What a blessing God has been to us at Northside Baptist Church. Paul was remembering the salvation of those at Philippi. They had a starting place with Jesus. Do you have a starting place with Jesus? Was there a time when you invited Jesus to be your Savior? If not, I hope you'll have that starting place today. Then Paul remembered an earthquake that he had there. He was in prison with Silas, and they were singing, and they sang up an earthquake, and there a jailer came to know the Lord. There was a woman that had been possessed of a demon, and Paul prayed for her. She was delivered, and she came to know the Lord. There was Lydia, seller of purple, in that Riverside prayer meeting, and she came to know the Lord. And Paul thought fondly of all these people that were the starting spot of something that was greater. We look around and we look at our church and we say our church is established. We say our church maybe, like it is. You know, we should see our church as a starting spot for what it can be. God has blessed us with those that are here, those that have been here. But let me tell you, God wants to bless us with those we're going to draw here. And God wants to use us to pull people in and to pull people toward him. They had a beginning with Jesus, and they started with Jesus, and they kept on with Jesus. That's what you need to do in the coming year if you want to have joy. In verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is trusting God to continue the good work he started. Listen, we've had good days, we've had bigger days, but God is going to continue the work he started. The days ahead are to be better and bigger and reach more than the days behind. We can't rest on what happened yesterday. Hey, if nobody's told you, 2016 is over. It's a brand new day. And God has a brand new mission for us to continue his purpose and to build his joy in the lives of others. We can't stop. We have to keep going. And we have to keep reaching out and keep touching lives and keep drawing people in. Paul thought of others. You might find yourself getting joy by some time just thinking of others. You know, we sometimes get sad when we think about people we love that are not with us, but you know, what a great thing that God's given us people to bless our lives, and we can get joy from what they put into us. It should lift us up. It should encourage us. Paul had them in his heart. He had them on his mind. He had them in his heart. He had love for them. You need to develop a love for the other people that are in your spiritual family. You know, there is that fellowship bond is shared when we gather together, and so it's important for the Sunday school class to gather, and it's important for the church to gather, and it's important on Sunday morning, and it's important when we are together on Sunday nights, and important on Wednesday nights, and you begin to look forward to seeing your family in the Lord. It is a special thing God has given us. Paul had them on his mind. He had them on his heart. By the way, can I tell you, it's better to have people on your heart than on your nerves? If you let people get on your nerves, you're going to be stressed out. It's better to have people on your heart than on your stomach. If you have them on your stomach, you're going to get an ulcer. But if you carry people on your heart, that can bring joy to you. That can encourage you. The Old Testament priests would go before the Lord when they would dress in their priestly garments. They would actually wear plates upon their chest. And on those plates were inscribed the names of the children of Israel, the tribes of Israel. And so when they went before God, they literally had Israel on their heart. When you have other people on your heart, you're going to have them in your prayers. Verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Here's Paul. He's in prison. He's in chains. But he's on his knees praying for the folks of the church at Philippi. Let me tell you, in any situation, you can pray. And you can reach out to God. And he can touch others miles away or right next to you through that time of prayer. It's one of the most powerful things you can do. You want to help our church in the coming year? Pray for us. Pray for your pastor. You know, I am not perfect. I need your prayer. I need God to mold. I need God to give his messages. I need God to direct. I need the Lord to guide. Pray for me. Pray for Jake. It's a bold new world he's stepping into as he leads in our choir and in our music. Pray for him. Make regular prayer for him part of your life. Listen, pray for our youth. Pray for the young people in our church. Pray for their growth in the Lord. Spend time praying for them. If God brings them to you name by name, pray for them name by name. You know, just lift them up. Pray for our children. Listen, pray for our Awanas. We're touching lives through Awanas. We're making difference. We're making a difference through our Awana ministry. Pray for those that are that are active in teaching and leading our Awana clubbers, and pray that that number will grow and that they will get closer to the Lord in that process. We must pray for the fellowship. And when we pray, God can unleash His power. Pray for that Sunday school teacher. Pray for those in your Sunday school class. Pray for the empty chairs, that God will fill them, that God will use you to fill them. Pray and then pray and then pray some more. Through the fellowship of one another, lifting up one another, encouraging one another. And when one of us falls, go and pick that individual up. Lift them up and let them know you'll be there with them. If they're wrong, lift them up and let them know you'll be with them. If they're right, lift them up and let them know you'll be with them. Let them know that Jesus has a plan for their life and He can care for them no matter what's going on. They need to hear those words of encouragement. We need to give them. And we need to pray for them. But there's joy in the fellowship. There's not only joy in the fellowship, there's joy in the furtherance. In verse 12, but I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. The words which happened that are in this text are not really in the original text. And so it literally says, things unto me. Things don't just happen to believers. In the next year, things will not just happen to you. God, in His providence, allows things to come into your life for the furtherance of the gospel. If you are faithful to God in whatever takes place, then God can use that to be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. God can use that to draw people to the gospel. The word furtherance means to cut a path. My dad was a CB. Now, if you understand the Navy lingo, CBs are the engineer construction group in the Navy. The saying goes that a CB does everything a Marine does, except when he leaves, there's a bridge or a road and a pathway to move the forces forward. And so a CB cuts a path for all the other military to move forward on. Paul is saying circumstances in my life have cut a path for the Word of God to move forward on, for the gospel to move forward on. Listen, the people you meet in your day-to-day life is cutting a path for the gospel to move forward to them. The situations that happen in your life make a way for the gospel to move forward on them. Paul was in prison. Paul was chained to a guard. In fact, Paul was chained to different guards. He was chained to a different guard every few hours. He had six different guards that would be chained to him through a day's period. And so every time he got a new guard, he had a new opportunity. In verse 12, the things that have come to me have come for the furtherance of the gospel. In verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace. Now, these guys would change out. They would be chained to Paul, and then they would not be chained. They would go back to the barracks. While they were chained with Paul, they would listen to Paul. Paul was a chained preacher. He preached chained messages. Every new person he was chained to, he would preach a message to. And so they would hear, while they were with Paul, Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, they would hear a message from Paul, and they would see Paul write. They'd say, what are you writing about? He would tell them about Jesus. He would tell them about how Jesus died on a cross for their sins, how God had come to earth to take away their sins, to allow them to be forgiven, to allow them to know the only one true God. Now, some of those soldiers came to faith. Some of them didn't. Some of them just went back to the barracks and said, let me tell you what this crazy preacher's talking about. Either way, the gospel went forward, and when Paul talks about the message being in the palace, he is saying the guards got the message to the Praetorian Guard. The Praetorian Guard was Caesar's elite guard. Paul is saying the gospel has been able to get into the palace of Caesar because I've been chained. Listen, had Paul just stayed a Baptist preacher in a country church, he would have never had the opportunity to get the gospel to Caesar's court. But because he was in chains, and because that they rotated that guard, he was able to get the gospel into places it would not have gone otherwise. And in that, Paul could rejoice. In Philippians 4:22, he says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly those that of Caesar's household." Paul got the gospel into Caesar's household. Praise God for that. God opened doors for Paul to be in his circumstance, and that for that circumstance to be used for his glory. Now, the gospel did not get to Caesar's household because Paul was in prison. The gospel got to Caesar's household because Paul was willing to allow God to use him while he was in prison. God can use your circumstances for the furtherance of the gospel and to give you joy if you will do what God wants you to do in those circumstances. And so there's the furtherance of the gospel, but also there is faith. In verse 27, he says, let your conversation is not talking about what his speech, it's talking about his behavior. Let your behavior make a difference. This is where the rubber hits the road. It wasn't that Paul was chained to different people. It's how Paul behaved when he was chained to different people. Listen, it would probably be great if I could tell you and it be true that everything was going to go positively perfect for you in 2017. Everything's going to fall exactly right. Everything is going to move in your direction. And everything's going to be wonderful. And you can just worship the Lord in the blessing. But let me tell you the truth. There will be some things go wrong. There will be some things that are difficult. There may be some losses in your life. There may be some hardships to get through. But if you will walk with Jesus, God will use each and every one of those situations, whatever they are, to glorify Jesus and to draw people to Him. And if souls can come to God through what you experience, praise the Lord for what you experience. But it will only happen if you choose to walk with God through whatever you face. Be faithful to God in your behavior through whatever the circumstances are. Let your behavior, your conversation be as it should be. Now, when Paul was talking to the people at Philippi, they understood all this kind of speech because they were a colony of Rome. If you were a colony of Rome, you were set up like a little Rome. Everything was like it was in Rome. You were to act just like you were in Rome as a citizen. Even though you were in Philippi, you were to act just like you would if you were walking the streets of the imperial kingdom in Rome. And so you were to behave the same, you were to act the same, you were to conduct your life the same. Now Paul baptizes these names, these words, and in chapter 3, verse 20, he points out that we as Christians are citizens of heaven. Now, I have dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a citizen of heaven. My citizenship in heaven is better than my citizenship in the United States. That dual citizenship should make a difference. In verse 27, he says, let your behavior be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. In other words, act right here on this earth like you're a citizen of heaven. Carry yourself on this earth like you're in relationships with heaven. And have a ministry on this earth that is a heavenly ministry, doing what God would have you do, and walking as he would have you walk day by day. He says, so that you will stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel. Be faithful where you are. The Christian life is sometimes tough. It is a battle. We are to fight that battle with faith. We are to walk day by day as God would have us walk. We are to live day by day as God would have us live. There may be something in your life that doesn't belong in a heavenly citizen's life. Get it out. There may be changes you need to make so that you are more like a heavenly citizen. Put them in. Allow God to work in you and through you. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. There may be some sufferings ahead in the new year. And if there are, let me tell you, God can use that suffering. And God can give you joy even through the suffering. I can't explain how that is possible. I just know that it is. You can use any circumstance, any situation, if you are following God, and you can be a blessing of the gospel, and you can get joy. I don't think Mr. John will mind me sharing this. His dear wife went home to be with the Lord. He gave me a call, and I got to the house as quick as possible, and we were standing there when the funeral home came. Now, many of you have been in that situation. And as these men dressed in their suits came to take Miss Florence away, there Mr. John was meeting people for the first time. And you know, it was not 5 minutes. Those men, he had probably never seen them before, but they introduced themselves to him. They were there to try in a very careful way, tender way, deal with a very situation that was very difficult. Mr. John used that opportunity to tell them that his wife had gone to be with Jesus, and that this is my pastor. And I want to invite you to come to Northside Baptist Church, and I want you to come to know my Lord. Now, that was a difficult position to be in, a difficult time. Mr. John, you did that right. You gave a great testimony in that moment. Now, I've seen other people give such testimonies. If they had not been in the situation, they could not have given the testimony. I don't know what situations God's going to put you in. I certainly hope you don't have to go through losing a loved one in this coming year, but some of us will. Some of us may be the ones that move on to glory this year. But whether it's in a hospital or whether it's at a ball field or whether it's in a schoolroom or whether it's in your own home, God can give you joy in behaving like a citizen of heaven and bringing the news of heaven to those that are here on this earth. That's what we're to do in 2017. And that's where the joy will meet our lives. And when you do something for the Lord, it's eternal. It never goes away. And that joy will be with you for all eternity. Now, if you've never met Jesus, you can't have the joy. And the thing you need to do right now is walk down one of these aisles and just say, I want Jesus. Let him come into your heart. Let him save your soul. Let him do it today. Maybe you're in a difficult circumstance and you just need to turn that circumstance over to him. Let him lead you through. Pray that God would allow you to have joy in the difficulty and that he would guide you, that you would hold up Jesus in the difficulty. in 2017, we're going to see souls come to Jesus. And as we do, we're going to rejoice. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings you have poured out on our lives, on our church, and Father, for how you've used people in this fellowship to minister to others and to draw others to Jesus in the past. And Father, I pray that that would multiply in each of our lives, and every situation we face in this coming year, we would face it in such a way that we hold up Jesus and that Jesus gets the glory, Father, and in that there is only joy. And Father, for those that are here that don't know you, that they would come to know you, that they'd be willing to walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus, that they would be saved today. For those of us that do know you, Father, that we would be willing to say, Father, this year, as much as you let us live in this year, let it be for your glory and give us your joy. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee.
You that our offering time continues our invitation. God has spoken to your heart. There's a decision you need to make. Come and make it. We'll be here to receive you. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray that you would bless now this time of offering. Continue to draw our hearts to Jesus, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.